Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Happy Friday. Today we are talking about the first impressions from what is believed to be the first non-employee delivery of the Cybertruck. This did in fact happen yesterday, so we'll talk about some of those first impressions. I've also got a couple of pricing updates, news on the EV tax credit, and more. Right, looking at the stock, tough end to a tough week for Tesla, down 3.7%, closing at $218.89 on the day. The NASDAQ roughly flat on the day today. We did get the Producer Price Index, or PPI, report this morning following CPI yesterday. And unlike CPI, which came in a little bit heavier than expected, PPI was cooler than expected by about 0.2% across the various different month-over-month comparisons or year-over-year comparisons as well. So headline inflation, PPI inflation, up just 1% year-over-year and basically flat, slightly down actually from a headline perspective month-over-month. So positive news in terms of inflation, in terms of interest rate expectations from this report, and of course everything else that happens in the macro environment. But largely probably driven by this report. Not too much has changed for January expectations, maybe a little bit more of an expectation for a 25 basis point cut. But the further that you go out, so we'll look at May, for example, here, you can see that rate expectations have changed a bit in terms of cuts more quickly. So actually, it looks like May is a little bit different. But for March here, and then we'll go to June, you can see higher percent chance, or expectations rather, of a rate cut. And then I think for June, it's a little bit more heavily weighted towards further or steeper cuts than what we had seen previously. So the market expecting those rate cuts to happen a little bit more quickly than certainly a week ago and even a day ago prior to PPI. All right, moving on from macro, we'll move into the Cybertruck first impression. So we talked about this yesterday. This delivery did end up happening, so great to see this. This is a huge milestone, first non-employee deliveries for Tesla customers for the Cybertruck. So Suzu 2142 on the Cybertruck Owners Forum, giving some first impressions. They say they took delivery, drove around 50 miles locally. Their first impression on build quality was an A- for Tesla. They said there's a few misaligned panels, which we'll talk about in a second, if you do look closely. They also said that their right turn signal is a little bit glitchy at the moment in terms of the actual functionality of making the signal. For handling, they said they love the squircle steering wheel or yoke combination. It's a little bit small for their liking, but they said they can comfortably relax both of their hands on top. Steering is extremely responsive, and the turn radius blew away their 2022 Toyota Tundra. They said for acceleration, more than enough for me. The motor somehow feels a little bit louder during acceleration and regen braking than any Tesla they have driven. And they said number four, attention from drivers, too much. They are getting their window tinted first thing tomorrow. But of course, if you are one of the lucky few to be taking an early delivery of this vehicle, that kind of comes with the territory and very much should be expected. So the other thing that caught a lot of people's eyes, or a lot of the news today on this first impression, was a photo that was shared of what seems to be a pretty significant panel gap here on the rear quarter, or the rear connecting to the back of the truck. So as we can see here, this looks like a pretty significant gap. I think, you know, most people would be disappointed by what this quality appears to be. And certainly makes sense why this would get a lot of attention being one of these first deliveries. Of course, you would expect Tesla to maybe take a little bit closer look at these specific vehicles than when this is, you know, produced and delivered in terms of thousands a week. So a little bit disappointing to see that, but this picture isn't doing this any favors in terms of how it's perceived. They did actually later on, after a lot of this coverage went out, share another photo of the same location on the vehicle, and it is much more minor. Maybe not necessarily what people would hope or expect to have in terms of fit and finish there, but certainly not as massive as this kind of appears from this extremely zoomed in photo. And we can see here, this is actually still even a quite close photo. They mentioned that they had another Tesla owner come by and look at it as well, and they said that, you know, they didn't view it to be anything significant. And again, going back to their first impressions, they did say A- build quality, their assessment for the Cybertruck. So overall, it looks like that was about a 1/8-inch gap in that area. So again, something that you would like to see improved, but maybe not as significant as some of the initial reporting that you may have seen on this would indicate initially. So important to keep that in mind, and hopefully we'll get some other reports from people too. It looks like at least one other person has been scheduled for delivery on the 20th, so about 8 days from today. So we'll keep an eye out for that, and I'm sure we'll see a few others as well. They did also say that it seemed like they were a little bit more annoyed by the media coverage of this photo than the actual build quality of the vehicle, with this poster saying that he wished the media coverage would include those updates that this poster shared later on. But here on Tesla Daily, of course, we're including those updates. And then he did say in terms of road noise that this was way, way better than their previous Model Y. said, to be honest, it feels more like a BMW X7 than like an X or a Y. So nice to see some hopefully positive NVH on the Cybertruck. All right, next up, we've got a few pricing updates. So we're going to start off with the EV tax credit, how this affects pricing. Of course, we know about the $7,500 tax credit. We've talked about the vehicles it's applicable for. We've talked about the change over to the point of sale credit, which will allow the $7,500 to come off of the invoice from the manufacturer or from the dealer, whoever's selling the vehicle. And that has now gone live. There was a little bit of trouble with the IRS implementation of this over the last couple of weeks, but this is now live. So it's on Tesla's site. And what we can see here, they note that this will be applied at the time of delivery. They also say that customers can purchase up to 2 vehicles per year with the tax credit applied directly to the purchase price. So this is going to be a pretty big deal in terms of just being able to recognize this value, the value of this credit up front, both from a cash flow perspective and also just from a financing perspective and how that actually affects the perception of what the price is when you are making that order. Having that removed right off the bat, I think is going to make a pretty big difference as people come to see that and realize that over time. So very nice to see that implemented. No changes in terms of what vehicles it's applicable for, but particularly for the Model Y, that'll be, I think, a pretty nice boost. And then just a quick US update, the 7-seat Model Y has increased in price. The option previously, and this has fluctuated over time, but most recently $2,500, that has now been increased to $3,000 for that 7-seat configuration on the Model Y in the US. And then for China, and this may have played into the stock performance a little bit today, we did see price cuts on most of the vehicles, so Model 3 and Model Y, the top 4 rows here recapped by CNEV Post. The performance Model Y did not see a reduction, but for the long range and the standard range version, they saw between a 2 and 3% decline, about 6,500 RMB, which is roughly $900 or so. And then for the Model 3, a little bit more significant price cuts. Of course, we'd seen price increases after the update to the Highland. Those seem to be filtering out a little bit now, with the long-range version coming down about 4% in price, or 11,500 RMB, and then the standard range or rear-wheel drive version coming down 15,500 RMB, which is just over $2,000, about a 6% decline. So pretty significant cuts there on the Model 3, not quite as significant on the Model Y. One thing to remember, though, is that Tesla was offering an 8,000 RMB insurance subsidy that we had talked about before the end of 2023. So that discount had sort of been there, even though it was, you know, an incentive versus the list price, but that was actually more significant than these price changes that we're seeing on the Model Y, not quite up to the level of the Model 3. And it does look like there is still, I hadn't caught this previously, but CNEV Post is also saying that in January there is still a 6,000 RMB subsidy for Model 3s that have already been produced, so inventory vehicles that are not new orders. So some of that is still remaining for the Model 3 with the more significant price cuts here. Obviously not what you hope to see in terms of margins, but certainly Tesla should have plenty of room to, you know, afford those price cuts after the previous price increases. And then just one other note in terms of the pricing structure in China, there is, it looks like, some financing that's being offered too. So in terms of some of the incentives that exist, also probably one that is worth noting there as well. And then Piper Sandler did have a note today commenting on some of the news that we've talked about over the, you know, today and over the last couple of days, the price cuts in China, production stoppages in Germany, wait times in the United States. That one is just referring to, for the updated Model 3, how those wait times have been extended. So they shared some of the thoughts. If you want to pause the video, you can go through and see some of those. Largely points that I think we have discussed already. But overall, just saying that they don't think that most of this quote unquote noise has much of a bearing on their long-term thesis. So they have, you know, reiterated their overweight rating with this note today. One other update out of China, not a Tesla app covering it here. There has been a software update, 2023.44, that has been pushed in China, and it actually involves some pretty significant changes to the voice command functionality with Tesla vehicles. So apparently this is now extending the voice command capability beyond vehicle controls to things like getting weather updates, stock market insights, they say, language translation, even recitation of the poetry, if you want. I don't know if there is audio feedback. It kind of sounds like there is in this case, in terms of maybe a voice that's providing you with some of these updates. But it sounds like this would be sort of, you know, Siri-like functionality that would be being added to these vehicles, We don't know what the underlying technology is at this point. Obviously, there's, you know, curiosity on whether or not XAI would somehow be integrated with Grok at some point to Tesla vehicles. I wouldn't imagine that that would first start in China if that does end up being the case. But interesting to see this, and hopefully it is a prelude to broader rolling out of a type of feature like this to other Tesla vehicles, hopefully not too far off from now. So I think pretty exciting, and should be some nice functionality added there. And then yesterday, Jeff Roberts, who does drone flyer videos often at Giga Texas, spotted a couple of these vehicles that were under wraps in transport near Giga Texas. Not really sure, a lot of people getting excited that maybe these would be, you know, next generation vehicle chassis here, something like that, or bodies here, but that's probably, you know, not my view on it. I think these are more likely to be, you know, not fully assembled model-wise. I'm not sure why they would be wrapped as thoroughly as they are, but I would have to guess that that's more likely than something like a next generation vehicle, when Tesla could, of course, easily transport those things in an enclosed trailer and not draw quite so much attention to them. So I'm guessing nothing too significant here. Maybe something to do with, you know, if there is a Model Y refresh at some point, something like this could be what we're seeing. But I'm not sure that that tells us a whole lot, even if that were to be the case. So I wanted to at least share a couple of thoughts on that. And then Tesla Scope today is reporting that version 12.1.1 of FSD beta is now rolling out to Tesla employees. So previously, the sort of wave one broader access for employees was version 12.1. This would be the next, you know, point iteration of that. So hopefully that means some progress, and, you know, if we then we can maybe see a continuation of that not too far from now to customers. So keep an eye out for that. And then the last couple of things, Rivian has posted that for the first time an impact report. So nice to see them follow suit with Tesla's, of course, impact report that we have now seen for many years. It takes Tesla a long time to put together. This is actually a 2022 report, so Rivian taking even quite a bit longer. And interesting timing now that we're in 2024 to drop the 2022 report. Would have been probably better for them if they had gotten it out a little bit earlier, but this is the 2022 report. Either way, nice to see them share some of these details. Again, following suit with Tesla's impact report as well. So that's out there on their website if you do want to read through that. And then SpaceX has also published their company talk. So this did, I think, happen on Thursday, as Elon had previously alluded to or said to expect. So really nice update just on the company, all the progress that they've made in 2023. He did mention one thing that was interesting, is that this year they expect to ship the Starlink mini devices, which he said should fit around, you know, the size of a backpack. So could add some pretty cool functionality to people that are, you know, backpacking or mobilizing in, you know, far out territories with limited connectivity. Having that device should be probably a pretty big game changer for those circumstances. So kind of exciting to hear about that. And then NASA did comment, as reported by Bloomberg here, that they have not seen any evidence of drug use, following up, of course, on the Wall Street Journal article that we had previously talked about. No evidence of drug use at SpaceX, they're saying. All right, last thing for today, just a quick look at the calendar for next week. On Monday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day, the markets will be closed, the NASDAQ will be closed that day. So no episode on Monday. We will return on Tuesday for the next episode. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you on Tuesday for the January 16th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.